Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. There's the Ukraine story, and then there's the coverage of the Ukraine story. Will it mark the downfall of Donald Trump? Or will it mark simply his latest offensive, obscuring his own abuse of power with a foreign government by falsely charging Joe Biden with the same? Not an idle question. As James Fallows noted in The Atlantic, several news organizations have granted Trump's unfounded allegations the same consideration as the undisputed fact of Trump's own possibly impeachable act. The Biden story, Fallows wrote, has become the, quote, patient zero of the next false equivalency epidemic. Perhaps because, as in previous trumped-up scandals, the tissue of lies has threads of tantalizing fact. Adam Entis of The New Yorker this summer wrote a long profile of Joe Biden's son Hunter, and it is an eyebrow raiser. Entis looked into the president's claim that Joe Biden pressured Ukraine to thwart an investigation into his son's company, but
I found that the investigation had already been dismissed by the previous prosecutor's office, and that this prosecutor was not pursuing an investigation of the company where Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, was working. When Joe Biden pushed the president of Ukraine to fire the prosecutor, he was doing so at the request of the American government, the IMF, the World Bank, the Europeans, that thought the prosecutor was not pursuing corruption investigations.
Now, this is a non-scandal that Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, in spite of everything he just said, has been howling about for months. But when it all blew up this week, you were in a doubly unusual position. You had done this very long story. You already knew that there was no there about Joe Biden and shutdown investigations. But you also knew about the many skeletons in Hunter Biden's closet, his car, his resume, his web browser, his blood tests, etc. Not a portrait of stability.
Whenever Joe Biden was running for office, this issue came up over and over again. Joe Biden was, Delaware senator, which is home to MBNA, the bank. And after Hunter got out of Yale Law School, he got a job at MBNA Bank, which happened to be one of his father's largest contributors. And the accusations at the time was very similar, actually, to the accusations today, which is that Hunter Biden is trading on his father's name to get these positions to curry favor with the senator. And that's really the same issue that repeats itself over and over again and is a legitimate subject of scrutiny when it comes to his business dealings when his father's vice president, and those would be the business dealings that he does in Ukraine and China.
Yeah, you wrote that there's, quote, little question that Hunter's proximity to power shaped the arc of his career. Isn't that the swamp? It's not just the perception of conflict. It's a business model. It's exactly what makes proximity to power such a lucrative commodity. Can we presume, getting back to Ukraine, that his seat on the board of a large natural gas producer there was not based on some background in energy markets or fossil fuels?
I can say this, that by talking to members of the board who sat alongside Hunter during those years, the 5 years that he was on the board, he told me, and they verified, that he made it very clear from the beginning that he would not talk to his father or U.S. government about the company and its activities. As far as I could tell, that was a policy that was not breached during Hunter's 5 years with the board. He had a don't ask, don't tell policy with his father. And this is so if a reporter like myself, or if you were to ask, why did your son do this deal? Joe Biden and his staff can genuinely say, we didn't even know he was doing it. But, you know, I was kind of mystified by why Joe Biden's aides and the State Department officials and White House officials, they told me that they were disturbed by Hunter's decision to join this board. And yet they told me that they never really raised it with Joe Biden. They said they were intimidated. One of them told me that the best way to not advance in government is to criticize the son of a politician to that politician. So there was this self-censorship, I think, that went on. I only was able to find one aide in the administration, a Ukraine expert, who does eventually raise it with the vice president. And he doesn't tell the vice president that he should ask his son to step down from the board. He just tells him, hey, we're going to be going to Kiev, and every time we go to Kiev, Russian propaganda stations promote this story. So they wanted the vice president to be prepared to answer questions if he was asked about his son. I believe that's the conversation that prompts the one conversation that I was able to document between Hunter Biden and his father. Hunter told me that he got a call from his dad. His dad said, I hope you know what you're doing, son. And Hunter responds by saying, I do. And he goes on and continues on that board and continues to obviously receive funds from the company through just this spring.
And I just want to know if in your mind, that the way it's been framed in the rest of the press in the last few days, it distorts the, you know, the equivalency of the president's behavior and the Biden's.
I feel like I'm seeing almost two versions of the stories, depending on which media I go to. When I turn on MSNBC, I'm seeing that this is all not true. It's all being invented. And then I go to Fox and I see, you know, the opposite, repeating the allegations. This is incredibly complex. It's very hard for journalists who have not spent a lot of time in Ukraine, and I have not spent a lot of time in Ukraine, to really get to the bottom of what motivates people to say what they say in a country which has its own politics that are very hard to understand. I think it's a work in progress to try to figure this out. You know, how did this narrative get to Rudy Giuliani in the first place? I personally thought Jake Tapper on CNN last Sunday handled it very well. He had Mnuchin on.
That's Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin.
Mnuchin was saying that he was disturbed that Hunter Biden was doing business in Ukraine.
I, for one, find that to be concerning. And to me, that's the issue perhaps that should be further investigated.
Well, I don't understand. So it's okay for Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump to do business all over the world. It's okay for Ivanka Trump to have copyrights approved all over the world while President Trump is president. But while Vice President Biden was vice president, his son shouldn't have been able to do business dealings?
Sure, you can question the judgment of Hunter Biden in deciding when his father was involved so heavily in policymaking in Ukraine and China, the wisdom of him taking these positions with these companies. That said, look who's making the accusation. Rudy Giuliani has been expanding his business very aggressively by touting his relationship with Trump and being his personal lawyer. And like Jake Tapper said, I mean, the children of Donald Trump are running around with businesses that raise very similar questions.
Matt Iglesias of Vox, for one, observed, quote, the banal, ordinary sleaziness of the Hunter Bidens of the world makes it hard to fight the extraordinary corruption of Donald Trump. In other words, even in the face of a White House that operates like the marketing arm of the Trump Organization, my words, not yours, he says the public itself can't help but operate from false equivalency. Do you think he's right? Do you fear that juxtaposing Hunter Biden with Trump Inc. will cause the public to shrug and say, you know, it's the way it is. It's Chinatown, Jake. It's the swamp.
There is a, you know, clearly a danger that many people will think that everybody's the same, that people in politics, their families are all cashing in. Obviously, that's particularly damaging to Joe Biden because he's sort of made his career by taking pride in his humble finances, frankly. There's a reason why this campaign, the Trump campaign, and previous Republican campaigns, and even Democratic campaigns, when Joe Biden was in the primaries, focused on Hunter. His business activities, his work as a lobbyist, albeit as a lobbyist mainly for Jesuit universities, and his work in Ukraine and in China is arguably an effective way to raise doubts about, you know, whether Joe Biden is the way his persona is perceived. That's the reason why they're focusing on this. This is not new, but what is different this time is obviously you have a sitting president who was growing frustrated that this narrative, the dubious narrative that Joe Biden used his office in order to protect his son in Ukraine, was not getting the traction in the mainstream press that they were hoping it would get. And then Trump did something that we've never seen before, which is in a private conversation with the Ukrainian president in order to bring to greater public attention these allegations against Joe Biden and his son.
All right, you've just alluded to the ecosystem in which this has all taken place. And it goes back to the way disinformation takes hold. You have done a thoroughly reported, highly nuanced, and mainly exculpatory piece about the Bidens. But don't we also have to reckon with the near inevitability that the New Yorker, and now on the media, for all of our scrupulousness, are also putting a bellows to the latest incendiary Trump lie, putting the story out there inevitably to be misunderstood?
That is the danger. You know, we can write, in this case, a 12,000-word piece. Probably most people will just read the headline, which would maybe give people a misleading impression. This is obviously a very hard position that we find ourselves in. We want to be able to tell people what the facts are. But in so doing, we are partly doing Trump's and Giuliani's bidding by keeping this in the news. I don't have a solution to this problem. You know, I'm not sure there is one.
Adam, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Adam Entis is a staff writer for The New Yorker, where this summer he wrote, "Will Hunter Biden jeopardize his father's campaign?"